The vaccine damage so far has been attributed to two primary problems. One is the spike protein itself. And the other one is that the endothelium becomes inflamed and the immune system becomes dysregulated, and that dysregulation causes the issues. And this is a common approach and understanding, common pathogenesis to see, and that is what is usually attacked in the management of the vaccine injury or long COVID injury. I want to make sure that we are aware of a third aspect that I keep seeing why that is missed. And that third phenomena or mechanism actually explains longer term disease. That is called network theory. So it looks like some Wi-Fi theory, but this was a Scandinavian researcher presented a theory, and he named it network theory. I don't think we had lots of networks at that time. The network theory was that, imagine for a second, this is a spike protein, and we make an antibody against the spike protein. So let's say this is that antibody. So now we have a spike protein and the antibody. Our body realizes that this antibody is going to be produced in a massive amount. Some of that will bind with the spike protein, but some of this is going to run around free. And if it runs around free, it can bind with other tissues and cause other problems. It can get complexed on various tissues and create issues. Right. This is his network theory. He said, our body then produces another set of antibodies.
To deal with those antibodies.
Yes. That can, absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. That can bind with this one. So now what happens is we have three players. We have the original antigen, we have the antibody against this antigen, and we have an anti-antibody against this one. So whoever is in excess will become complex with its opponent, and everything is good. He said that this is an adaptive mechanism, this is a protective mechanism, so we don't have free-floating antibodies. He called this one anti-idiotype antibody. It turns out that the children with myocarditis, they have free full length, and the free here is a key word, free full length spike protein in their circulation. And one of the mechanisms that the researchers postulated, or the editorial note postulated, was that possibly the antibody and the anti-antibody bound with each other, washing away the antibody that was supposed to bind with spike. And so as they washed away, spike was free to run around and do whatever it wants. That was not the intent. That is not what we thought. There is a Dr. Bill Murphy from Pleasanton University, UC Pleasanton. He had a research printed in New England Journal of Medicine in which he showed the presence of anti-antibodies. So it is not a theory anymore. He actually demonstrated that acute COVID and long COVID patients have these antibodies. Nobody paid attention to this, to say the spike proteins of the vaccine may be giving rise to anti-antibodies, anti-idiotypical antibodies. We need to figure this out. Now these antibodies are being produced by the B cells. These B cells can live on for years.
Right.
So here is the amazing thing. This antibody, the anti-idiotypical antibody, guess what will it look like? So if you follow the original pattern, spike protein comes in, binds with this antibody, then we make another antibody that can bind with this. So guess this antibody looks like spike protein or not?
It does.
It does, right? So all of a sudden, we are making our own antibodies that behave like receptor binding motif of the spike protein, and they can bind with ACE2. Now we have a long-standing ACE2 problem produced by our own immune system in response to the spike production. Imagine if we had a spike without this receptor binding motif. And I know that some scientists would be screaming right now that, well, we wanted to neutralize the create a vaccine that neutralizes the virus. But we haven't seen the neutralization. Right? So that original thesis that we needed for neutralization is gone. So remove the receptor binding motif so that we do not end up with the anti-antibodies that can bind with ACE2 and cause a person to be in this destructive phase forever. Now, the B cells, the memory cells that are produced, memory cells can live in three places. In the local lymph nodes where the exposure occurred, in the case of vaccine in the deltoid muscle and the local lymph nodes here, axillary lymph nodes and the cervical lymph nodes, clavicular lymph nodes, or these memory B cells can circulate in the blood. That is how we draw the blood and we see the memory B cells in there. A third possibility is that the B cells would go to a bone marrow and they start living there. Those memory B cells that can live in the bone marrow would live there for decades. And if, God forbid, these are the ones that are producing anti-idiotypical antibodies, they're going to produce it for decades. And now this patient has vaccine injury along COVID for a long time.
They're basically producing something very analogous to spike for
yes.
decades.
Yeah. And if a simple doctor like me, who is only reading these studies, can infer that the vaccine's design should change, the receptor motif should be removed so that we don't end up with anti-ACE2 antibodies, don't you think that the people who are more capable and are in this field and in this profession of virologies and vaccinologies, they would know it better? That lack of interest, that baffles me.